content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, January 2nd, through Sunday, January 8th. 2023. The commentary for January was written by Ellis Louie, a youth minister at Christ Church in Bronxville, New York. In her spare time, she enjoys keeping up with sitcoms, stress baking, and good coffee. The commentary for Monday, January 2nd, begins as follows. It is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Here's the commentary for this day. After college, I spent a year as an intern with the community of St. Mary, Southern Province in Sewanee, Tennessee. My daily duties were split between the chapel and the garden. Among them was helping Sister Elizabeth make the week's communion bread. She taught me how to be patient with the dough during its rise. She used a glass to cut out the communion hosts and a butter knife to make the sign of the cross on each one. With the scraps, she'd make small buns for tomorrow's breakfast. Nothing was wasted. In today's gospel, Jesus reminds us that he is the bread of life. He feeds us in both spirit and body. For the nuns, their altar and dining room table were both places of nourishment and hospitality. Nothing taught me this lesson better than praying, "Give us this day our daily bread," while making and receiving daily bread as spiritual and physical food. In every form, God seeks communion with us, seeks our healing. When we welcome Christ into our hearts and welcome the stranger, as Christ himself, Jesus, promises that we will never hunger and never thirst. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the Gospel of John, chapter 6, 35 to 42, and verses 48 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Then the Jews began to complain about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'? I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And the moving forward question for this day, bake some bread to give to a friend in need. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, January 3rd. It begins with a passage from the book of Genesis in the Hebrew Bible, chapter 28, verse 16. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." When I first started attending an Episcopal church, one of the biggest shifts for me was how embodied our worship was. I didn't know when to cross myself, when to bow, or when to kneel. It felt like relearning how to worship. In many ways, the pandemic has also felt like a relearning of how to pray. When I do not know what to do, I take long walks in my neighborhood. When I am in nature, the Holy Spirit feels a little more near, and both words and silence come a little easier. At the advice of my spiritual director, I try to thank God for the small things throughout the day. I like to walk to a nearby church and spend a holy hour catching up with Jesus. I hope to fill my small prayer corner in my apartment with icons of Jesus from around the world. God does not change. The ways we communicate with God and the places where we can find God. Like Jacob, may we learn that God is surely in this place, even when we do not feel it. And now I'll read the full passage from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And all of that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, where do you find God? Share your story with someone else as well. The commentary for Wednesday, January 4th, begins with a passage from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, chapter 3, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." There's a statue of Elizabeth Ann Seton at St. Raymond's Cemetery in the Bronx. She is in her habit with a rosary in hand, and below her name are the words, "In all events, I rest in God." Elizabeth was widowed at the age of 29 and lived through many troubles as a young Roman Catholic widow. Mother Seton later established the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph's, a religious community committed to caring for the children of the poor. Our readings today remind us that God is with us, whatever our circumstances. Moses had fled Pharaoh and was settling into a new life when he came upon the mountain of God. There, a burning bush was so compelling that Moses could not turn away. Out of this burning bush, God calls to each of us by name. For each of us, our baptismal vows to proclaim by word and example the good news looks different. Whatever our vocation looks like, resting in God's presence transforms our lives into something new. We need only to answer, "Here I am." And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight, and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." And the moving forward question for this day, or the suggestion for this day, I should say, is write it on a post-it note, "Here I am," and place it in a prominent spot. Each time you see it, offer the words in prayer. The commentary for Thursday, January 5th, begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." During the 4th and 5th centuries, early Christians sought an alternative to the established church, taking shape in the Roman Empire. They tried to live out a different answer to the relationship of church and state, and formed new Christian communities in the deserts of Egypt, Palestine, and Syria. Women like Synclitia gave everything they had to the poor and lived as hermits. The desert mothers were all regularly visited by monks and nuns for their advice on the Christian life. Today we remember the desert mothers, that they are a part of our great cloud of witnesses. In community they prayed for each other, learned from each other, and grew closer to God together. Our monastics continue to invite us into deeper communion with God and with neighbor. We too have the weight of the world to shed so that we might run the path of salvation with greater freedom. And now I'll read the full passage for today from Hebrews 11, verses 32 through chapter 12, verse 2. And what more should I say, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms and ministered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, pick a desert mother to research. You might start with one of the three listed at the top of today's readings. The commentary for Friday, January 6th, which of course is the day of the Epiphany, begins with the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. I grew up near Tarpon Springs, Florida. Every year, thousands of Greek Orthodox Christians make the pilgrimage to the city to participate in Epiphany celebrations. At noon, a procession goes forth to the spring bayou, where a young member of the choir releases a dove. Then the archbishop throws the Epiphany cross into the cold water. Dozens of local teenage boys dive in after the cross, all hoping to be blessed by the experience. Today we remember the Magi's visit to the Christ child. Both this and Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan are an epiphany or revelation of God incarnate in Jesus Christ. The Magi travel from their homelands in order to encounter God. Together they approach Jesus with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts for a king, God and mortal, respectively. In the person of Jesus, the full nature of God and humanity is revealed to all people, and we are able to approach the living God with no barriers between us. And I'm going to read now the entire verse of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you, Gentiles, for surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God and its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. And the moving forward question for this day is, how will you celebrate Epiphany? The commentary for Saturday, January 7th is from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7a. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. In 2019, I managed to catch the off-Broadway musical Revelation. As the opening number unfurled, I was surprised to learn that the play wasn't an adaptation so much as it was the entire book set to song. I loved it. Today's reading from Revelation begins at the start of the letters to the seven churches of Asia. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, we then move quickly through messages of admonishment and encouragement, each one dictated to John for the angels of each church. Ever since I saw the musical, I have not been able to shake the image of angels being assigned to each of our churches, neighborhoods, and towns. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we believe that we join the angels in praising God together. I find myself more open to the angels or messengers around me. These include the supernatural beings we learn about in Scripture, as well as people or current events through which God might be speaking to us. May we listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And now from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then from what you have fallen. Repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this is to your credit. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And the moving forward question for this day is, who are the angels in your life? Give thanks to them. And the commentary for Sunday, January 8th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 17. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Helping to prepare youth confirmands is among the favorite parts of my job as a youth minister. When we learned about baptism together, the best questions start with what and why. What is the point of being baptized? What does the water do? Why are babies baptized? Our unit culminates with our baptismal vows, which begin from a place of repentance, renouncing evil, and returning to Christ. Today we celebrate Jesus' baptism. It's a Sunday set aside by the church as being especially appropriate to baptize new Christians. Perhaps there will be a baptism at your church this morning, or you might be invited to renew your baptismal covenant. Just as we continue to confess to God and amend our ways when we sin, God's response to us is always forgiveness. God invites us to continue to turn to Him, and God delights when we answer the call. Only with God's help do our steps move closer to the beloved community every day. And now I'll read from the full passage of Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And the moving forward question for this day is to read through the service of baptism in the Book of Common Prayer on page 299 or in the sacred book of your own individual Christian faith. And when you read the story, what words speak to you today? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Thanks again for joining me, and goodbye until next time. Thank you.